Is Harry Smith, born 1923 in Portland, Oregon, to parents whose folly regarding their gender led to cyclical social and religious mania, forcing Smith to accept his own duality with generous enthusiasm, and espouse the dualistic dictum of make a person think they think and they love you, make them think and they hate you. Naturally, the grandeur of his never-ending unhappiness, combined with his well-known greed, have provided many a private and corporate mecenas to finance his excursions into that blunted hunger on the boundary of voice and vision. He has made about 1,500 recordings for restricted scientific use, in addition to about 120 cuts commercially released. He's produced 23 films, about half of these being easily available. His reason for coming to Boulder is to find out why he's such a damn fool, and he's heard that this is the place to do it. The topic of today's lecture will be the rationality of namelessness, to be followed on succeeding Saturdays by 2, is self-reference possible, 3, communication, quotation, and creation, and 4, the grammar of awareness. There will be a film shown in the Southwest classroom at the end of the talk.
Yeah, now I thought that this was to be a general lecture on surrealism. And it was only about 5 minutes before I left that Stephen discovered that list. That today I am to speak on the rationality of namelessness. I'd prepared, now, you understand that surrealism cannot be discussed. It's a specialized way of bringing people into unity with one another through the medium of insults and arbitrary interactions between them. I don't know how to point that out exactly, but it's basically that none of the speakers here are going to know what surrealism is, and none of the audience is going to know. But in our everyday experiences, we find out. Now, this was my lecture prepared for here, but it's in the form of a what's called a ballad opera. You may be familiar with the Three Penny Opera or something like that. It's a certain genre of stuff, but I'm skipping that. In order to give a general analysis of the contents of the thing. Now, we'll begin with the notion that one thing is impossible. Let's take the statement, God does not exist. Now, there has to be a God in order for it not to exist. It just can't be a vacuum. And some of you are no doubt familiar with the liar's paradox because it, I believe, occurs first in 2 Corinthians. And everybody, Bertrand Russell and Wittgenstein, failing desperately at answers. It has been a recent conference at Princeton on it. This has to do with the statement, everything I say is a lie. Now, is that statement true or false? Everything I say is a lie. It must be a lie, so it must be the truth. Never mind about that. Those are sort of the girders that the surrealist movement, which was basically a literary movement, you often hear of surrealist artists or And some of the most important what could be considered surrealist writers, Roussel, for example, sort of were on the scene before the whole thing happened. I know it will prove hateful to a lot of you, but I believe that what is called surrealism occupies that same sort of, I don't know what to call it, it's not ecological, the theological niche, as Zen does. It's the outpourings of sort of the lower, middle, upper, lower class, who have a certain amount of time on their hands and to engage in intellectual pursuits, which I haven't managed so far. The movie we're going to look at, which is one that was not shown at Naropa. I mean, pardon me, I keep thinking of the University of Colorado as Naropa. In this, the first of the four lectures, I'm going to make the assumption that the number one doesn't exist because it's neither odd nor even. It leads off into a complex series of other, you know, from at least from a Pythagorean standpoint, evenly, oddly, even numbers and things. Really, you know, half of 36 is 18, and half of 18 is 9. So those are all, but you got to use 3 threes to get 9. I can't go into that now. A thing that I noticed in this, that there were a great many more than necessary preludes and conclusions that are made by the announcer, who's been rattling on about the differentiation between comedy and farce, they being one being you saying what I'm saying, in a sense, in that I'm responding to your faces. Most of them are human, and I finally got somebody to laugh that hasn't laughed so far. I would presume that there would be my mother was deeply into Buddhism, and my father into Mohammedanism, and I'm also going to use certain linguistic notions of oppositions, like there being two forms of bilabial or something. These are called language universals and are, I believe, eminently suitable for a thing that cannot be taught, described, painted. It can be spoken to, but I'm afraid that the spoken words are like the ones that Brecht uses in Mahagoni. That you can rant at him, you can rave at him, you can sponge his face with vinegar. You can tear out his tongue with the pliers, but you cannot help a dead man.
Hardly.
And this is a prelude, considering the whole thing as a Masonic ritual. Plus a lot of trivial poetry that I write. You know, juvenilia. I like poetry in high school yearbooks and that sort of thing. Because very often pictures of landscapes are drawn before the imagination that otherwise wouldn't. I'm off so many subjects I can't believe it. A great number of things are written to either cowboy tunes or popular tunes of the 1890s. I think I'll sing this one too. It's one of the longest ones. But I might as well make a fool of myself, you know, while I'm given time. Maybe. This is medicinal. It is not anything else. Is that thunder or a train or what? Thunder. Yeah, I think I'll skip this poem. And they're all like that. Although they have their points. I mean, in this one, H.P. Blavatsky is rising from the slime. Plus things I can't find very easily. I'm going back to that Sunday. These are to be periods of quiet meditation. And search warrants and things. There is one about search warrants here, as a matter of fact. But it's never been copied out, and I'm not sure I can read it. Now, are there any questions? In many cases, the changing of a single word, and we'll try some experiments in surrealism later, but I think there are things that you will find around the house. And I simply can't answer all your questions, Richard. Anyhow, there is no way of explaining surrealism. Although, that lady that was there, she's gone now. Oh, no, there she is going to treat it from a historical standpoint, back to the futurist, what I consider to be a sort of a Marxian, Darwinian method. But no doubt, we'll be very worthwhile, see? Because she probably has the piece of yellow paper in the right place. It's a parody of a song from about 40 years of the Battle Hymn of the Republic in here. But I was just going to say that the thunder somehow knocked it out of the book. No, it was clearly marked and it's long, so it'd be hard to miss. And I don't believe that a better illustration of surrealism could be given than was just given by my friend with the bass drum along farther up the road, of what it consists of and what it does not consist of. It consists of yourselves, but reduced to the knowledge that impurity comes from within and not from without. Other people are, and I borrowed that from Levi Strauss, it wasn't original. Yeah, in 5 minutes it's movie time. Mm-hmm. Ah. And I tell you, it's long and is rhymed and perhaps to a great degree requires a knowledge of the tune, which begins, "I live in Vermont, and one morning last summer, a letter informed me my uncle was dead." But in this case, "I lived in New York, and one..." I had to change the times of year here. "Evening last autumn, a message arrived that my body was dead. My hands clapped like joy bells when I got this message, for I'd soon join the ranks of Naropa," it said. "I glanced at the postmark, joy's gold, turned to terror, for it had been canceled in Yama's stern realm. Then a ship like a skull cup pulled into the harbor with a battered Dakini in charge of the helm. I sought out my stateroom to weep on the pillow, but vomit came forth like the fountains of Rome. For that sea called Samsara produced such a billow that my nausea sued out on my heavenly pillow. So, audience, please light these candles of butter provided by ushers." I don't know where that usher went. "When you came in this tent, and erect in my name a thread cross, gigantic, but by bolder standards, and to remember me when I've gone, because I have been making recordings of a great number of different religious atmospheres. And Boulder, having sprung into a great city since 1860, when it was founded, has a long history of belief in God. Or something, some kind of bindu point, so big that you can't find the edge. And, I made a general survey of the sizes of the different churches here. At one point, the Presbyterians evidently were important. The Christian Scientists still are. And I happen to like the Presbyterian hymn book and all that. So that's what I do. That's why I'm here. And that's why you have learned nothing. But in interaction with each other, and there are many simple surrealists that can be experiments that can be made. I'm sure you know all of them, like folding the pieces of paper and drawing the head on, passing to the next person, having them drawing the neck. Anything you did as a child because those things that are connected with us in our knowledge and in our dotage have a peculiar structure to them. Okay, can I go now? If there are any questions, but I'm very poor at answering questions.
What film are we going to see?
Well, it's the first... Never mind. What that film consists of is I had gone to Oklahoma to record sort of a wide spectrum of music, which was there. I made about 1,200 recordings in a year. But even in Oklahoma City, you can't buy 16mm, whatever I was using, Ektachrome or something. So the film was rewound and a great number of superimposed images put on it. Three, I think. Then I came back to New York and put one more on. Doesn't sound good, one more. But, so it'll be basically about that. Scenes among the Kiowa and Arapaho. I'm amazed that streets here name those names for those unfortunate people. So, none of the images are clear in themselves. They blot each other out. And then I waited a couple of years for the film to, before I had it developed. I don't know. I presume they're not here. I ran into some students from this class, and I think they thought I was joking when I said, bring film to class, but be sure it's outdated. Because then it's all pretty pink and blue and things. What is needed at this point, if surrealism survives, and considering the number of magazines on the subject, I presume it does, is music. Because in some way it's the bond.
Did working visually change the way you express what you think? Or was working visually...
Well, now, there are great problems regarding whether I think. refer it to Whitehead, I don't know. And the problem of demonstrating that anyone thinks is always, is an ever-present danger in speaking to them. Because so often it's a reflection of yourself. I can't go into this. There are three more lectures that are... I'll try to have the material worked up a little better. But you understand, I picked out the titles of these lectures because they sounded scientific. I didn't bother to figure out... I read a few books on non-existent objects and such like. The standard, linguistic, page after page of analysis of humor in the forms of C's turned upside down and epsilons. And I have no idea. But I tried to bring it up here because I feel there's too much emphasis on poetry. I would like to see more of you studying the beauty of nature around you. The Japanese poet Nanao Sakaki said to me that the wonderful thing about the Southwest, and incidentally, from weather and stuff, this is classified as the Northwest, I can't believe it, that watching the flowers bloom in the Southwest was just like watching the Bardo plain. They came to fruition and then they sank away. Let's see, do I have any funny stories? Yeah, I do, but I'm saving them.